Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Spotlight for Weakness, my audio written by Justin Sidermouth. This is a fairly recent audio, which is unusual for me to do a spotlight this soon after an audio has been released. The last time I did it was because a hot neighbor went so quickly to the 10K mark on Soundgasm, so it was kind of a milestone. This one I'm doing so quickly because it was such an emotional experience, and I feel like there's some closure that I want to put with this one because of the process that I went through to record it and to give the performance that I wanted to give. So to sort of bookend the process, I feel like recording the spotlight now, as opposed to waiting a few weeks or months or whatever, I think that'll be in my best interest and yours, because it's still fresh. So I can be a little bit more detailed and give you a little bit more of an inside look as to what that looked like. So this one, it's heavy. I don't know what else to say about that. It's an absolutely beautiful script. The writing is stunning. It takes such a delicate subject, handles it with care and compassion, respect for its subject, and makes it accessible to people that are not in the situation. Just sheds a lot of light on what this character is feeling and what they're going through, what she's going through. Does it in a way that is not overwhelming. As somebody who's reading it or listening to it, it's just beautifully crafted from front to back. It also is done in such a way that it takes this subject and adds in the, let's call it, the naughty elements, because we all know that I can't be dirty when I'm in real life. I can say whatever I want into a microphone, but I can't, you know, when I'm talking as me, be, you know, graphic. It's just not what I do. So the naughty bits are added into this seamlessly. It could be a disaster adding that into such an emotional scene, but they flow and everything just feels like it's supposed to be there. This dude just gets better every time he writes a script. I don't know what else to say about that either. I've filled a few of them now. And every time I think it's the best one, and then I get another one and I'm like, oh shit, he upped his game again, which means me as a performer, I have to up my game to keep up. So it's good. It's a great challenge to have. And that's what this script was for me. It was a challenge. The origin of this one, I was lucky enough to be involved very early on. Justin asked me to sort of take a look at it before it was even a complete script. The naughty bits weren't written yet. He just had the story part written and asked me to sort of take a look and see what I thought. And I did. And I remember I was sitting on my bed with my laptop just reading it, and just this gut reaction to the story itself, and obviously the writing is what I had. It was so powerful. I could hear this character in my head. I could feel what she was experiencing, because it literally jumped off the page, screen, whatever. It jumped out at me. And it made me want to explore her and her world and what was going on for her in a way that I was not expecting from the description of the script itself. It's not subject matter that I was, you know, versed in. I have a close friend that has been in that situation. I've spent a lot of time going through conversations with her about what she's dealt with. So I'm familiar a little bit with this type of situation, but it's not something that I would seek out, you know, for myself to read or to do, as a script, because it's not within my personal frame of reference. So for it to grab me the way it did, it was shocking to me. And for me to hear it and be so attached to this character so quickly was unexpected. So I gave my feedback to Justin and basically said it was amazing. The thing about this one was he had this idea from a conversation with someone else and wanted to give them a chance to record it first because that's where it stemmed from. So I'm sitting there going, oh shit, you know, somebody else is going to get first crack at this. And that, it was disappointing. I'm not going to lie. It was such an honor when he came back and said that the other person had decided not to do it. And he offered to let me do it. Actually, I think I asked, but either way, I got to do it. And that was a huge, huge privilege for me. Because we had spent some time sort of going over what was happening in the script. And when we were originally talking about just the story parts, some of the conversation we had had was, how do we transition, or how does he transition from the story into the sexual stuff? And it's interesting because there's actually two versions of the script. If you read it and then you listen to my audio, you'll notice that they're different, where the blowjob starts, because there's the part that is the actual script. And then there's the part that Justin wrote in for me, because it was the conversation that he and I had and the suggestions that I had made. I sort of had an image in my head when we were talking about it, of this blowjob going a certain way. And that was the listener sitting up on the bed, and it's what happened in my audio, but I'll go through it anyway. The listener sitting up on the bed and the character going down on her knees between his legs in that sort of circle there, because she would then be surrounded by him, protected by him. The connection is so much stronger because he can then touch her. He can be absolutely 100% connected to her. If he's laying down on the bed, he's cut off that connection. The eye contact is gone. The ability to put his hands on her to sort of know what's going on with every piece of her, and for her to feel that connection with him, isn't there. But sitting up like that, she is literally surrounded by him in all ways. And given the emotional state of the character, that's sort of what I saw in my head. And I told Justin that, and he liked it and originally was going to use it and then decided not to because he didn't want to give my ideas to other people, which I was like, that's dumb, use it, but whatever. His call. And he ended up actually writing it back in for me when I said that I wanted to record it. And originally he was like, why don't you just improv this? Which, fair. But the fact of the matter was, I didn't want to leave anything with the script to chance when I recorded it. And my concern was with the emotional requirements, the emotional state I had to be in to give the performance I wanted to give. There was a very distinct possibility I wouldn't be able to tap into that thought process enough to make it flow. So the idea of having the person that wrote the rest of the script in that piece as well was just ideal, because then I didn't have to worry about it. It was one less thing that I had to deal with while I was trying to get the performance to where it needed to be to do the script justice. So he wrote it in. So I have my own version of the script. Actually has my name on it. I'm actually quite proud of that. So that was kind of cool that he was willing to add my own input to it. Not all writers will. I've been fortunate in the writers that I've worked with that they're all pretty cool about that kind of thing. And it was a nice touch to be able to sort of put my thought for the character into the story. So I appreciated that a lot. When it came to putting this one together, this is like my anomaly recording. This is an audio that just broke the mold on my entire process, front to back, literally. Like, none of my processes were followed, which anybody that's listened to my backstage stuff, my behind the scenes stuff before, knows that I'm very structured. Everything I do has a process. And I follow it meticulously because that's how I keep myself from going completely fucking insane. This one was outside of all of that. I was given the opportunity to record it and I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to make Justin wait. I didn't want to prolong, you know, sharing this with the world. So I actually rearranged my entire schedule, my release schedule, which I create based on analytics and based on tags and based on all that stuff. So I just shifted it and said, screw it. I'm putting this in. I want it here. This is the next thing that's going out the door, because it was that important and that powerful. So first anomaly is I shifted my entire schedule for it. Second was I scheduled a completely separate recording session for it. I batch record, again, behind the scenes. Everybody knows this that's heard that stuff. I don't do one audio because it's just not the process that I follow. This one had its own session. That's all I did was this audio. So I made a point of having one recording session that was not pre-planned. It literally, like, the day of, I was like, I'm going to record this tonight kind of thing. It was actually, I was going to record it the next day, and then I jumped it a day because I was ready to do it. So it was, you know, completely outside that process as well. My preparation for this one was a lot more than I normally do, and I'll come back to that because it's a bit more involved. But I did put in quite a bit more prep work than I normally do. I tend to prefer to just let my instinct take over when I've got the script in front of me. This one I couldn't, there was no way that was going to work. Just to be able to have the performance that I wanted. And, you know, there was an element of trepidation about it because I wasn't even sure I could do this, to be honest. You know, this is such a big performance. It's such a big requirement emotionally, to reach the depth that this character requires and to give her the life that she should have coming out of this script. I wasn't sure I had the chops to do it. Honestly, it was a big challenge for me. It was something I had to dig in and, you know, look at every ounce of everything I had to make sure I could do it. So, you know, there was no way I was going to be able to do anything else with that session. And with the prep that I had to do, there was no way I could do it without that. So it was all pieced together because of what I had to come up with. The other thing that I did is I had my beta listener in on the session. So normally I don't let people listen when I'm recording. It's me and the microphone and that's it. The beta listener, I had them in on the session because of the depth of the emotional state that I was going to have to go into. I wanted somebody there to sort of pull me out if it got too heavy. So again, totally outside of my process. I put the audio together. Literally, I recorded it on Wednesday. I edited Thursday and Friday, had it beta'd Friday night, and posted it Saturday. So my turnaround is not usually that quick from recording to editing either, and certainly not to posting. And here we are. So this audio just shook my entire system. And I'm glad it did. Because if anything was going to force me out of my comfort zone in any way, this one did. And it forced me out of my comfort zone in every single way possible. And it was a phenomenal experience because of that. It made me think outside the box in a lot of ways. It made me look at a lot of the things that I do, why I do them. And it made me dig deep. And that was something that I wasn't expecting to the level that it went to. So pretty cool. In terms of the audio itself, this one's a hard one to talk about because I had to access some pretty dark stuff in my own mind, in my own history to bring forth the emotion that I needed to even attempt to give this character life. I want to preface that by saying that this is something that I absolutely 100% wanted to do. It's something that I'm very proud of being able to do. And it's something that I don't see as a negative experience. Yes, I went somewhere very dark for this. Yes, I allowed the emotion to come out. I drew on some not so happy experiences to get there. Does that make it a negative experience overall? No, not at all. This is probably one of my favorite front to back experiences with an audio. And I will hold on to that regardless of what I went through to get there, because it was part of it. And it's what I had to do to prove to myself that I could do it. And it's what I had to do it right. So, you know, I had to do the work, and that was part of doing the work, and it paid off. It was so worth it. When I look at what I was able to accomplish with it and, the goals that I set for myself, that was the work that I had to do to achieve them. So this process took a lot out of me, and I had to give a lot more than I typically do. But I would do it again in a heartbeat, no questions asked. So, it got pretty dark for a bit, and I don't want that to be what I hold on to. I want it to be the experience overall that I hold on to and what came from it. The day of the recording, I had to let myself go into that headspace, to get as dark as I could and to touch, like I said, some ugly things. I had to find a way to identify with this character, even though I didn't have a shared experience. I had to look at the type of pain she was feeling and see if there was a type of pain that I could draw on that was similar, that anything that matched, that I could, you know, that I could hold on to, that would at least get me close to her emotional state. So what I zeroed in on was the overall helpless feeling that she's holding on to. She says it, and it's one of my favorite lines in the script. It's an enemy she couldn't fight. When she, you know, is talking about the loss of her friend, she couldn't fight it. There was nothing she could have done. There was no indicators. There was nothing that red flagged. There was no warning whatsoever. And then all of a sudden that person is no longer with them, and she couldn't have saved her. That, in that context, is what she's dealing with. And I've got experience in my own life, with the same feeling in different context. So I was able to pull on that. Not something I like touching, something I spent a long time dealing with and putting away, but I think because I did the work to deal with it, I was able to draw on it more easily and put it away more easily. But I was glad to have something like that to utilize to give me a little bit more depth in the performance. So I brought it all forward, and I made it all come to the surface, and I was one great big raw nerve. And then I had to plan out the beats in the script. So I could have just read it, figured out what I wanted to do, and then recorded. But like I said, with this one, I had to be a little more careful. The emotional beats, there's an intensity that sort of builds from the beginning in this script, that if you don't hit the right levels at each step, you're going to screw it all up and it's just going to go sideways. So I had to make sure that I was, you know, I was hitting those beats and doing the amp up on the intensity properly. Being so emotionally exposed, being so raw, it's very easy to let that stuff be triggered too soon. So I had to have that plan in place for me to follow. So that's what I did. I made sure that was all looked after. It was not, It's not something I will do with every script. It's probably not something I will do again for a very long time unless it's the right script, because I prefer to do the instinct live at the time. I don't like it to feel forced. This one, I don't think it would have worked quite as well if I had done it the way I normally do. So I planned it all out. I had it all ready to go. Had the beta listener there as my backup. And then I literally stalled at the microphone for an hour and a half before I actually hit record and did anything worth doing. I had to convince myself that I could record this, and if I didn't love it, delete it. That was the mindset I had to get myself into to be able to actually attempt to record this. That's how unsure I was that I would even be able to accomplish this. I got about two sections into it and I stopped because it sounded like crap. I was not happy with what was happening, what was coming out of me, what I was giving in terms of the performance and the script reading. It wasn't good. It was garbage, actually. And so I said to my beta listener, I'm like, I need you to unmute, because they mute. They muted to listen. And I said, I need to talk this out. So we kind of talked about how to handle the beginning section. And I had sort of two ideas in mind. One was like a great big blow up and just let her anger come out and intensify until it comes to the sexy part. And then it all, you know, ends in the climax. And the other was the initial snap and then pulling back into sort of that deadly calm. And that was sort of the way I was leaning, because this character is so controlled. She spent her entire life learning how to not show emotion, learning how to hold it inside, learning how to make sure everybody else around her is fine and taken care of. And she doesn't deal with her own stuff externally, because it's just not what you do. That is part of the reason that she had the struggles that she had in dealing with this situation, because she doesn't have the ability to allow those things to come out in any real way. So I had to talk this out. I actually had to like have this moment where I was hearing myself say this and having this conversation with the beta listener, and I knew which way it was going to go, but I had to have that. So we did that. And then I was really just having a hard time getting there. And the beta listener said, just do a take as though you're not going to keep, like, do one that you're going to throw away. Who cares? And I went, oh, it was like a light went on. Oh, okay. I'll do that. So I started recording, and that was the take that ended up being the final one. I didn't have to throw it away, because the idea that I could just do that, having it reiterated for me like that, helped. I don't normally get in my own head about my performances, even when I do theater or, you know, I give shows, you know, as a solo vocalist. I don't get in my own head. I know what I'm doing. I've done the work, you know, stuff like that. That's not arrogance. That's preparation. Like I fully prepare everything I do. This is why I plan the way I do, right? So I don't feel like this. I had done the work and I was still struggling, because I fully doubted that I was going to be able to do this. Once I got into the recording, though, once I got sort of past that initial hurdle, everything just flowed and I was able to just let it happen. By the time I got to the climax, I actually had tears streaming down my face. Like I was that far into it. And the crying that happens after the orgasm is all completely real. Like I was a blubbering mess for the last part of this session, and that's what I needed to be. There was a point where I was worried that the words weren't going to come out for the last part because I wouldn't be understood. I was crying so hard, and actually you can hear it on the very last line. My voice kind of breaks at the very end, and I honestly thought I was going to have to record a pickup for that, because I didn't think it was going to be clear enough to be understood. That's how far into it I got. And then it was like 10 minutes after that, I just cried. And then another 10 or 15 minutes after that, I had to decompress myself, breathing and stuff like that. And my poor beta listener was listening to this whole thing like, dude, anybody that thinks this is an easy job, that this person has never put up with my level of crazy, has never dealt with the bullshit that I put them through. But they were there for the whole thing and made sure that I, you know, wasn't losing my shit completely. After the recording was done, I went into sort of a autopilot. I just started putting, you know, saving the files, putting the equipment away, you know, the stuff that's muscle memory to me now after a session. And I couldn't really get out of that emotional state. The hard part for this, and I didn't think about this going into it, when I do something like this for a show, which I've done before, I have a team around me, right? There's other actors, there's crew, there's the director, there's, you know, these people that are sharing this experience with you. They're in the theater with you, they're backstage with you, they're whatever. Going through this experience, they understand what you're dealing with and they're there to help, you know, add some levity to it. They take that burden off of you at the end of it. And they're sharing in it because they're in that emotional place because of the show you're doing. Whether they're the character or not, they're sharing in that energy. It just sort of permeates the entire building. With this, because I can't go to like my normal support system in real life and be like, hey, I'm making this audio and I have to go to this really dark place and hey, let's go get drinks after. Awesome. Which is what we do in the theater. You know, we close down the rehearsal and then we go to the bar, or we go to the restaurant, or we go do karaoke, or we go to somebody's house and, you know, play cards, whatever. We socialize and we remind ourselves that we are people and what we just did at the theater stays at the theater. With what I'm doing, I can't distance from it that way. And I don't have that support system. Not the same way that I do live. So that was not something I anticipated. I kind of forgot about that part. So my beta listener was like, let's hang out and do something that takes your mind off it. I think we watched something. He streamed something. I don't know. Anyway, I don't even remember because I was so far in it. That's just what it was. And I thought, okay, I'll hold on to it and then I'll just let it go. You know, it's a bad night, whatever. I knew that was going to happen and I'll just move on. Didn't sleep well. It was an up and down night. That was a bad night. And then the next day I thought I should be moving forward and it sort of lingered. So I did the editing over the next 2 days and I had the beta listener sit in on the editing as well. Again, just to pull me out if need be. And it's still, even when the audio was finished, it still didn't stop. I still was in this like doldrum. It was just really interesting. I wasn't anticipating this. Once the audio was edited and ready to be posted, or I was thinking it was, I had another little hiccup in my process, which was normally at that point, that's when it goes to the beta listener and then I get my feedback and I, you know, revise or whatever I got to do. But because the beta listener had been involved from the very beginning, there was no way they could be objective. Like that was not going to happen. So I needed another set of ears that was not involved from day one. And you know, you can't go to the script writer because it's their script. That doesn't work. So I actually, there's somebody in the community that I tend to go to with this kind of thing because their opinion, other than the beta listener, is probably the one I trust with my audios the most. The beta listener obviously being the first, but this person, they get it. They get me, they understand my content. And they just have that creative mind and will give me the feedback that I need. So I went to that person. I was like, the beta listener's compromised. Would you mind helping me out? And they did. Kind of cool. I really like that, that we have that kind of support system here. So, the audio came back with a couple of tweaks and it was funny. One of the things that this person said was one of the things that Justin said when he heard it. And one of the things the beta listener said, there was actually a piece in the very beginning where she screams into a pillow and I recorded it like 5 different ways. And I picked the least obnoxious way to edit it in, cause I did it separately. So I didn't have to break the flow of the audio when I recorded it, but everybody was like, get that out of there. It doesn't work. So I got to take it out, which is great because I didn't like it myself. So it was interesting that they all came back with the same feedback. But that's why we do, you know, the test before it goes live. Because if I had put that out with that noise, I'm sure I would have been inundated with, you know, complaints about it. I would have been, you know, the front of that line. But anyway, so did the final revisions. Great. The audio is ready to go. Still didn't decompress. Awesome. Saturday comes. Saturday's posting day. So Justin and I coordinated the posts and went up a little later than anticipated because it was just one of those days. As soon as I hit submit on the post and the audio went live, the decompress started. It was like I had released it into the wild. It was done. It was no longer just mine to carry. And I was good with that. Like I was able to just let it go. And that's when I was fully able to just move out of that headspace, put all of that stuff back where it had to be and move on. So it was really interesting that I had to feel like I was sharing the experience with others on a bigger scale to be able to decompress. And it makes sense when I think about it because that's what I do when I'm acting in the theater, right? So I needed that handoff in a larger way. That was the process. It was, like I said, got a little dark, but I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Once we released the audio, Justin and I kind of had a messaging conversation back and forth where I said, don't expect it to perform. It's a beautiful piece, but it's niche. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to avoid it because of the triggering elements of it. And he knew that, like, dude's pretty smart. He knows that that's not everybody's cup of tea. So we kind of went into it thinking, you know, if the people that need to hear it and they enjoy it, then we're happy with that. Awesome. Little did we know it was going to do well. It actually did very well. It hit the second spot on the GWA hot board, stayed there for most of the day, which is pretty cool on a Saturday when, you know, there's all kinds of great content flowing through there. The upvotes were great, but the best part was the comments and the messages, because people were relating to this. They were hearing something in their own situations that they could hold on to, that they could relate to. That was an amazing feeling, was knowing that, that we had put something out there that was potentially helping people. And we got quite a bit of feedback that way. So it was really awesome to see that. That in and of itself made everything else 100% worth it, even more so than it already was. So we were, you know, we were pretty stoked. The whole team, Justin, the beta listener, me, that's about all there is for this one. So we, you know, we had the performance that we wanted. We had both my performance and the like GWA performance more than we expected, and it just turned out beautifully. From there, I mean, I don't know what else there is to say. It's such a gorgeous audio. If you get a chance to read the script, and that's maybe you didn't listen to the audio for whatever reason, but you can, you know, sit down with the script, please do. It's stunning, like I've said. And a little bit different than the audio. So take a look at that. Yeah, this is probably it is the performance I'm most proud of in my entire audio career. And it's the one that'll stick with me the most. So that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. Those moments don't come along very often. And when they do, you grab them and you hold on. So I'm going to hold this one near and dear. I hope everybody enjoyed the audio to the extent that you can enjoy that type of audio. I hope it had a positive impact for anybody to listen to it. Let's put it that way. Enjoy might be the wrong word, but a positive impact is a better way to describe it. And just a big thank you to Justin for writing this and for trusting me with it, because that's a huge deal too. I think I'm going to leave it there for tonight. It's like almost 3 o'clock in the morning and I've been recording tonight, so I'm a little wiped. And you know, that is the story of how weakness happened and what the process was. And, you know, like I said, if you can check it out, please do, but please don't feel you have to. That's the other thing I should actually mention. I got a lot of messages when this one was posted from people apologizing because they couldn't listen to it because it was triggering in some way or another. I just want to emphasize 100% that listener safety is first priority. So please don't feel bad if you can't listen to it. I get it. You know, nobody's going to be offended. Nobody's going to be upset. There's over 75 other audios to choose from. Go ahead, do what you got to do. I would rather you stay safe. Don't just listen because it's me. I have that inclination too with the performers that I listen to. I will listen because it's them, right? But please don't do that. If you are triggered in any way by this, please, please, please put yourself first. As much as I appreciate the loyalty and I love that that's even a thing, I would rather everybody just stay safe. So please do that and not looking at content that could potentially trigger just because it's part of a certain performer's catalog. I would just prefer everybody stay safe. And on that note, I am actually going to wind it down. I don't think there's going to be any other little tangents come up, but thank you everybody for listening, for showing the audio some love. Go give the script some love. It deserves as much as we can give it. Justin deserves as much as we can give him. He's still not convinced he's a writer, so we need to change his mind, because you read that thing and you go, that guy's not a writer. What the hell's a writer look like, right? It's a thing. So throw that some love. It deserves it. That is the spotlight for this one, and I'll talk to everybody soon. Take care, guys.